Welcome, ladies and gentlemen,
to the World Martial Arts Radio Network.
Up next,
you will be listening to the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame, Show Host of the Year Award winner,
the one and only
Justin Harvey, producer, director, and on-air star of The Justin Harvey Show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Justin Ray Harvey of The Justin Harvey Show. Today, I have a wonderful martial artist. I've been researching her for the past few weeks, and I actually consider her a good friend of mine after talking with her for the past few weeks. I've been a little backed up, and I do apologize for not getting her on the show sooner. I would like to welcome, and I hope I get this correctly. Let me see. I'm sorry, dear. I hate when I can't pronounce this. I hate when I'm put on the spot. I had this earlier, I swear. Give us your name, darling. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, my name is Svetlana Zavialova. That's all right. Not everybody gets it right.
I had it right earlier. I do apologize. So how are you doing?
Thank you for a wonderful introduction. That was very sweet of you. I'm doing very well. I'm in Los Angeles, and it's really sunny. And what else would you want?
Absolutely. And I was doing some research, and I understand that you're originally from the Ukraine.
Correct.
So when did you come to the U.S.?
I've been in and out of U.S. for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming here every year for a couple months, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just go to New York to see art.
You like art? Well,
yes, of course. I'm a martial artist. Martial art, that is art.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, you were an international wushu competitor and have won many championships. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I consider myself less of a martial artist, but rather an artist of martial movements.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing wushu for more than 20 years, and I've competed in a lot of competitions, but mainly the one that's been successful for me is a world championship in traditional wushu that was in 2012 in
mm-hmm.
Anhui province. So, but right now I transitioned with all of it more into stage and conceptual art and a little bit of film and TV at the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me more.
And you transitioned into Chinese opera. Can you talk a little bit about what Chinese opera is and how you transitioned?
First of all, not to confuse anybody, you know that traditional Chinese opera, Beijing opera, usually performed by men. So
mm-hmm.
Obviously I haven't broke the whole story about that. So I am trained in traditional Chinese opera, and when I perform it, it makes it actually a contemporary version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it, and I don't believe in gender thing as well. When I lived in China, like permanently, not living it often as I do right now, I started to travel in small places and small villages because I really wanted to research more of styles that were passed from generation to generation, something that you can't really know as a Western person unless you really go into this deep places, you know, where people just don't go out and speak about this styles, right? And the styles like Xinyi Quan and many others, other styles when you imitate an animal and stuff like that, they are connected to their traditional art. And then it led me to connecting with one opera troupe and connecting with one of teachers. And, you know, it's like when you're looking for something and you are, I think you have this vibe of curiosity and things just happen for you, you know. And I've been, I think I was lucky, but when I look back, I think maybe I was so excited and I was so curious about it. So this is how I found my way into training in Chinese opera. And then while doing it, I understood two things. First is I'm not a martial artist. I'm an artist of martial movement, and that's a different thing and has a different goal, right, as an artist. And then also I realized that I have a vision and I have a idea of how I think it would look, and that I think it has to exclude gender because I think it doesn't matter. I tried to keep it short, but didn't work. I'm sorry.
Didn't work. And also one of my main topics that I wanted to discuss tonight, because me and you were talking about it, why should people train in China? Because I know it's really close to your heart and a very important fact that people need to know. Why should people train in China like we were, you know, discussing a few days ago?
Okay. Well, you know, I'll try to answer as honest as possible and not to offend anyone. But when I go to Western countries, and it's not necessary U.S. only, right, you see a lot of, like, schools where you could see someone who calls themselves Sifu or Master or whatever, you know. And it's a commercial institution, and there is nothing wrong with that. But people who went to China and made their own research and found teachers and sources where they can learn that feel right and that feel authentic, they would understand what I'm trying to say right now. But at the same time, there is a notion that it is very difficult and it is very expensive to do it, and that's not true. Is that China is, there's so many things are going on there, but not so many people like really know what's going on there. And it's a very welcoming country and culture, and especially martial arts, because their perception is not about who is better or who knows more. It's about who is here, who is learning, who is experiencing, who is living those experiences. So that's why I think if you are a martial artist, and I think everyone is a martial artist who has this in their heart, you know, like you don't have to kick and punch to be a martial artist. It's something that is born in your heart. And if you are a martial artist and that's your passion, a dream, I think that's, you know, you have to try to go to China to feel and experience it.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to do that sometime, you know, actually go to China and learn about their culture and their martial art, because, you know, like you said, and I wanted to comment on this, like, here in the States, you know, there's a lot of politics when it comes to martial arts, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Like, style is better and all this, and, you know, we're supposed to be a unity and come together as one.
You see, Justin, this is what I trying to point it out, that martial art is art. You know, martial art, in my particular case, is Wu and Shu, right? So there's two characters. So the character Wu means warrior. The character Shu means art. So then this is when we speak about warrior art, right? And then if you want to say art, that is acting and dancing and fine art, you say yi shu, right? So two characters, and shu is also art, you know? So that there is the same foundation for wushu and yishu, which is art. And I would like to repeat it again, that art is not about who is better. Art is about who is here, you know? And then in Western world, martial art is about who is better. What excludes art from the picture? And I believe that my responsibility is sometimes to educate people about that.
You know, what really gets under my skin, though, is like, you know, people can train for only a couple months and then they're supposedly, a black belt in their system. And I'm like, there's no way. There's just absolutely no way whatsoever. It really gets to me.
But that's labels. You know, why do we need to have a belt at all? Why do we need to have any kind of definition? You know, you could be a master, but you could be out of shape, you know. Sometimes it's because you abandon something you do, which is nothing wrong with that. You know, you're human or, you know, something happened in your life and you haven't done it, right? You might still have a title, but you are not able to perform on that level, right? And then again, leveling ourselves, making again us to, you know, everything comes down to this philosophy again. You know, so like giving this belt, you know, it's like you feel good because of the belt, you know, but when you do it, I thought it's a action of joy, you know, it's an action of joy to perform movements, but it's also a lot of joy to think about it. And it's also a lot of joy to speak about it, you know. And it doesn't matter if it's a belt or a medal or title, you know?
Exactly. I mean, because that's the type of message that the Karate Kid, you know, the old Karate Kid movie tried to, you know, say, because, you know, Mr. Miyagi's telling, you know, his student, why do I need a black belt, you know? Belts are the, you know, hold my pants up or whatever, you know? It's not about the belt.
So. Yeah, but, you know, it's not about the belt, but at the same time, it's a validation. You know, this is what happened to me, because I'm coming from the place where to be a martial artist, that's not serious, and to be an artist, that is not really respected and serious, and this is very sad to actually say, but it is the reality, or at least it was the reality of the time when I grew up. And somehow in my inner world, I felt like if I won the competition, there is some kind of validation, you know.
For
what I do. But then only when I accomplished that thing, I realized that, no, it doesn't answer any questions. It doesn't make you feel better. And I would tell you even more, that was like, that led to a very long-term depression and crisis, because I thought it's like some kind of door, you know, of self-acceptance. Yeah. And then, you know, that it wasn't.
I can totally see your point with that. It's like with this podcast that I try to do, you know, get the word out about the martial arts and do what I can to, you know, spread the word and give these martial artists a chance to, you know, tell their stories before these stories, you know, get lost.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, what artist does is, like, all we try to do here is to write our name on the wall and a couple words under this name. And I guess this is what I would like to write under my name. And thank you for an opportunity.
Oh, it's completely my pleasure. And I got to say, in all my years of doing podcasting and radio, you're the first person that I had trouble pronouncing their name and actually got stumped on air. So I do apologize for that. you know, but it happens.
That's all right, you know.
Because I've spent several weeks, you know, preparing for this, and I wanted to get you in as soon as possible for this. So
that's good. That's I think it's a perfect timing, you
yeah.
know, the way it happened. I will be leaving U.S. soon, coming back to Asia and get back to creating things and with new inspiration, because every time I come to L.A. or New York, you know, I meet a lot of artists and, you know, it's like it's a process when I get inspired and empowered, and I feel mm-hmm. like I accumulated enough of the energy, so it's time to go and start creating things again.
Oh, I absolutely. Have you ever done like Tai Chi or any form like that? I know you do Wushu, but have you done like Tai Chi as well?
Yeah, well, Tai Chi yeah. is Wushu. You know, Wushu has external styles and internal styles. External styles, well, basically everything has something to do with energy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
external styles is basically you are firing with the energy outwards. And
mm-hmm.
Tai Chi, as it's called the art of silk thread. If you
mm-hmm.
Translate it directly, it's about feeling the energy, and it's about looking inward instead of, you know, it's like people say there's the time to throw the rocks and there's the time to collect them back, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this is how internal and external styles of Wushu work. And yeah, I do Tai Chi. You know, I've never been a big fan of Tai Chi because I've always done Nanquan and Nanguan
mm-hmm.
and Nandao, something that is, you know, with the scream, and it's like based on Hu Xin Chuan, which is a tiger style. Over the years, I kind of got the point of Tai Chi, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I've learned it and I loved to speak about it, but I never really got it earlier, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also after a lot of injuries and broken ACL for
uh-huh.
some time, I just have to do Tai Chi. This is for some time, this is all I could do. And I guess this forced me to learn and to understand and to experience what is it Tai Chi, and right now I really love it.
Awesome. And one of my questions here is, I found something interesting that you actually have a PhD in clinical philosophy. How did that come about?
No. Psychology. Yeah, psychology. And, well, I mean, it's been back in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's considered PhD in U.S. and all over the world, because we have a little bit of a different terminology about that. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm psychology. I have a psychology major, what would be a correct thing to say? I just had a family members that were mentally ill, and I guess it at some point inspired me to go into this direction. And at the same time, society, it wasn't cool in my country to be just a martial artist. And I wish I understood back then that it is cool to be exactly who you are. So I graduated from the university and realized that psychology makes me look into imperfection and
mm-hmm.
sad aspects, and Wushu and art makes me look straight into beautiful things that I admire, and that makes me feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my divorce with psychology. So yeah.
Wow. What would you tell someone that, you know, they don't know anything about martial arts, but they're interested in doing martial arts, what would be your message to them?
I would say martial arts, and specifically martial movement, has this huge capacity for expressing your emotions. The same like physical theater and dance, and there are so many styles, there are so many different things that you could learn and find yourself and try different martial arts, try different styles, find exactly what make you feel right, what mm-hmm. make you feel good, or it gives you a tool to express yourself. And there is nothing that you can't do. Just find what excites you.
Yeah, yeah. How long did it take you to figure out that, you know, wushu was your go-to style? I mean, did it take a while? Did you play with any other styles? Or
I would love to say that I played with any and took my time to understand, but my story is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I've also trained in classical ballet for like 12 years, and I've been doing it at the same time. But since I started wushu when I was 4, I was just blown away of what wushu is. You know, I think till the age of 12 or 15, I couldn't talk about anything but wushu, you know?
Yeah.
So I even had some problems, you know, at school, because like no one really wanted to talk with me because I wanted to speak about wushu all the time, you know. So no, I didn't really, you know, it didn't take time for me to figure it out, but I did other things in order to also learn some other aspects, you know, mm-hmm. of physical art. But generally, from as long as I remember myself, I really loved movement. I really loved watching people walking, or when book falls from the bookshelf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of imagining the movement, the frozen movement of the book falling from bookshelf. I don't know if it sounds crazy.
No,
when I was looking on people speaking, I was just like hypnotized by a movement of facial muscles, you know. It was so interesting for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is my answer, you know. Maybe not completely relatable, but this is my story.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because like with me, you could come up behind me, and if I knew somebody in personal life and they blinded me, I know people's voices, and I could say, "Oh, that's you, Adam," or "That's you," or and then like I know, like if I'm here in the house, I know my family's footsteps, so mm-hmm. I can kind of relate to what you're saying, in a sense. So
because
you know, I'm kind of training my body to use my other senses, so. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
So I think me and you both can, you know, relate on that level as martial artists. So
of course, absolutely. As I spoke to you the first time a couple of weeks ago, you know, I told you that I consider yourself as a martial artist, and you know, I told you why, and I told you many reasons of why you are a martial artist. So, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll never forget that conversation as long as I live. And to me, that conversation Aww. Right there was just very. It was a very, very precious gift. I'll never forget that. And it's meant the world to me, because you know. A mutual friend of ours, he, you know, he reached out to me in an email, and he threw out your name and says, "You really need to interview her." And I was very impressed right away. I was like, I need to get a hold of her.
Well, that's nice to hear. It's nice to hear that actually the world is so small, you know, because people are connected all over the world. People from China and American people living in China, artists, you know, and tech people, and how all of these things, art and technology and poetry and everything and just spoken word, everything merges together, and it becomes completely about people connecting and expressing themselves. So I'm really happy to connect to you and audience that you have.
Well, I appreciate that you have stopped by, and if you want to share some final thoughts and stuff, and I do hope that you will come back on the future if you have more subjects that you want to talk about, or if you want to talk about, you know, wushu in more depth on another episode, you're more than welcome to come back.
Great to hear. I will have something specific to talk about, but it's secret for now. And my final thought would be, oh my God, I said so many things already. You know what? I don't know if it's going to be relatable, but I've always been a very shy person, and I've been shy to do a lot of things even artistically, and it took for me longer time to do some of the things that I really had an urge to do, and I'm doing it only now. And I guess my message is, like, that's fine to be exactly who you are, to do exactly what you want, and to say, and you, whatever you have to say in whatever way artistically you're using words, say it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone always needs to hear it. Someone always needs to know your story.
Absolutely, because if you don't tell your story, then nobody's going to hear, and you know, and then you won't get anywhere. You know,
yes.
if you don't speak in some aspect, whether it's in speaking verbally or if it's speaking in an artistic way, there's several ways to speak. So. And thank you again for being on the show. And this has been a great edition of the Justin Harvey Show. And do you want to give people out your social media while we're on here, real quickly? That way they can connect.
Well, it's easy to find me, but I'm not sure if it's really easy to find. But my name is Svetlana Zavialova, and. My website is svetlanazavialova.com, and my Instagram has the same name, so it's Facebook and YouTube channel. Find me, connect with me. You know, I'm always happy to connect with people. And thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And with that said, folks, it's a wrap.
You have been listening to The Justin Harvey Show here on the World Martial Arts Radio Network. Be sure to tune in again next week for his latest show. Thank you for listening.